ಪುರಿತ ಬಲಧಾಮ ಅಂಜನಿ ಪುತ್ರ ಪವನ ಸುತನಾಮ ಮಹಾವೀರ ವಿಕ್ರಮ ಬಜರಂಗಿ ಸುಮತಿ ನಿವಾರ ಸುಮತಿ ಕೇಸಂಗಿ ಕಂಚನ ಭರನ ವಿರಾಜ ಸುರೇಶ ಕಾನನ ಕುಂಡಲ ಕುಂಚಿತ ಕೇಸ ಧ್ವಜಾಭಿರಾಜ ಕಾಂಧೆ ಮುಂಜ ಜನೇವು ಸಾಜ ಶಂಕರ ಸುವನ ಕೇಸರಿ ನಂದನ್ ತೇಜ ಪ್ರತಾಪ ಮಹಾಜಗವಂದನ್ ವಿದ್ಯಾವಾನ ಗುಣೀಯತಿ ಚಾತುರ್ ರಾಮ ಕಾಜ ಕರಿಬೇಕೋ ಆತುರ್ ಪ್ರಭು ಚರಿತ್ರ ಸುನಿಬೇಕೋ ರಸಿಯ ರಾಮ ಲಖನ ಸೀತಾ ಮನ ಬಸಿಯ ಸೂಕ್ಷ್ಮ ರೂಪ ಧರಿಸಿಯಹಿ ದಿಖಾವ ವಿಕಟ ರೂಪ ಧರಿ ಲಂಕ ಜರಾವ ಭೀಮ ರೂಪ ಧರಿ ಅಸುರ ಸಾರೆ ರಾಮಚಂದ್ರ ಕೇ ತಾಜ ಸವಾರೆ ಲಾಯ ಸಂಜೀವನ ಲಖನ ಜಿಯಾಯ ಶ್ರೀ ರಘುವೀರ ಹರ ಶಿವರ ಲಾಯ ರಘುಪತಿ ಕೀನೀ ಬಹುತ ಬಡಾಯ ತುಮ ಮಮ ಪ್ರಿಯ ಭರತೈ ಸಮ ಭಾಯಿ ಸಹಸ ಬದನ ತುಮ್ಹರೋ ಜಸ ಗಾವ ಉಸ ಕಹಿ ಶ್ರೀಪತಿ ಕಂಠ ಲಗಾವ ಸನಕಾದಿಕ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಾದಿ ಮುನೀಸ ನಾರದ ಸಾರದ ಸಹಿತ ಹರೀಶ ಜಮ ಕುಬೇರ ದಿಗ್ಪಾಲ ಜಹಾತೆ ಕವಿ ಕೋವಿದ ಕಹಿ ಸಕೆ ಕಹಾತೆ ತುಮ್ ಉಪಕಾರ ಸುಗ್ರೀವಹಿ ಕೀನಾ ರಾಮ ಮಿಲಾಯ ತುಮ್ಹರೋ ಮಂತ್ರ ವಿಭೀಷಣ ಮಾನ ಲಂಕೇಶ್ವರ ಭಯ ಸಬ್ ಜಗ ಜಾನ ದುಃಖ ಸಹಸ್ರ ಜೋ ಜನ ಪರಭಾನು ಲೀಲ್ಯೋ ತಾಹಿ ಮಧುರ ಫಲ ಜಾನ ಪ್ರಭು ಮುದ್ರಿಕಾ ಮೇಲಿ ಮುಖ ಮಾನಿ ಜಲಧಿ ಲಾಂಘಿ ಗಯ ಅಚರಜ ನಾಹಿ ದುರ್ಗಮ ಕಾಜ ಜಗತ್ ಕೇ ಚೇತೆ ಸುಗಮ ಅನುಗ್ರಹ ತುಮ್ಹರೇ ತೇತೆ ತುಮ ರಖವಾರೆ ಬೋಧನ ಆಗ್ಯಾ ಬಿನು ಪೈಸಾರೆ ಸಬ್ ಸುಖ ಲಹೆ ತುಮಾರಿ ಸರಣ ತುಮ ರಕ್ಷಕ ಕಾಹೂ ಕೋ ಡರನ ಆಪನ ತೇಜ ಸಂಹಾರೋ ಆಪ ತೀನೋ ಲೋಕ ಹಾಕತೆ ಕಾಪ ಭೂತ ಪಿಸಾಚ ನಿಕಟ ನಹಿ ಆವ ಮಹಾವೀರ ಜಬ ನಾಮ ಸುನಾವೆ ಸಬ್ ಪೀರ ಜಪತ ನಿರಂತರ ಹನುಮತ ವೀರ ಸಂಕಟ ತೇ ಹನುಮಾನ ಚುರಾವ ಮನ ಕ್ರಮ ವಚನ ಧ್ಯಾನ ಜೋರಾವ ಸಬ್ ಪರ ರಾಮ ತಪಸ್ವಿ ರಾಜ ತಿನ್ಕೇ ಕಾಜ ಸಕಲ ತುಮ ಸಾಜ ಔರ್ ಮನೋರಥ ಜೋ ಕೋಯಿ ಲಾವ ಸೋಯಿ ಅಮಿತ ಜೀವನ ಫಲ ಪಾವೈ ಪರತಾಪ ತುಮಾರ ಹೇ ಪರ ಸಿದ್ಧ ಜಗತ್ ಉಜಿಯಾರ ಕೇ ತುಮ ರಖವಾರ ಅಸುರ ನಿಕಂದನ ರಾಮ ದುರಾರ ಅಷ್ಟ ಸಿದ್ಧಿ ನೌ ನಿಧಿ ಕೇ ದಾತ ಅಸಬರ ದೀನ ಜಾನಕಿ ಮಾತ ರಾಮ ರಸಾಯನ ತುಮರೆ ಪಾಸ ಸದಾ ರಹೋ ರಘುಪತಿ ಕೇ ದಾಸ ಭಜನ ರಾಮ ಕೋ ಪಾವೆ ಜನಮ ಜನಮ ಕೇ ದುಃಖ ಬಿಸರಾವ ಅಂತ ಕಾಲ ರಘುಬರ ಪುರ ಜಾಯ ಜಹಾ ಜನ್ಮ ಹರಿ ಭಕ್ತ ಕಾರ ದೇವತಾ ಚಿತ್ತ ನ ಧರೈ ಹನುಮತ ಸೆ ಸರ್ವ ಸುಖ ಕರೈ ಸಂಕಟ ಕಟೆ ಮಿಟೆ ಸಬ್ ಪೀ सुख हो। जो यह पढ़े हनुमान चालीसा हो ये सिद्धि साखी गौरीसा। तुलसीदास सदा हरि चेरा कीजे नाद हृदय मह डेरा। पवन तनय संकट हरन मंगल मूर्ति रूप राम लखन सीता सहित हृदय बसहु सुरभि।
Listeners, today we're going to have a short discussion on Bhishma Stuti. The Bhishma Parva, or the Bhishma Stuti, occurs when Bhishma is lying on his bed of arrows, and his education to Yudhishthir and the Pandavas is essentially over. And he obviously has Ichamrutyu, so he's about to let go of his soul, of his prana. And he asks Krishna to stand at his feet so that he can last discussion with Krishna on what to do. And then he tells Krishna that I have a Kumari Kanya that I want to marry to you. And so everybody got Ascharya Chokit, who is this Kumari Kanya? And that's how the Bhishma Stuti starts. So we're going to listen to Bhishma Stuti by Pujya Shri Ramesh Bhai Oza.
Bhagavan Shri Krishna ni Stuti Kari. श्री भीष्म उवाच इति मतिरुपकल्पिता वितृष्णा भगवति सात्वत पुंगवे विभुम्नि स्वसुखमुपगते क्वचिद्विहर्तुम् प्रकृतिमुपेयुषीयद्भव प्रवाह। त्रिभुवन कमनम् कमालवर्णम् रविकरगौरवराम्बरम् दधाने वपुरलककुलावृताननाभ्यम् विजयसखेरधीरस्तु मे नवद्या।
आत्मा हो ये पुस्तके सौ प्रेम की भीष्म स्तुति गाए।
युधि तुर गर जो विधुम्र विश्व कचलुलिता श्रम आयलं कृतासे मनिषित शरै विभिद्यमान त्वचि विलसा तवचे स्तु कृष्ण आत्मा। सखी वचो निशंशम्यमाध्ये निज परयोर्बलयोरथं निवेश्य स्थितवति परसैनिकायुररक्षणा ऋतवति पार्थ सखेरतिर्ममास्तु। ममपहाय मत्प्रतिज्ञा
Listeners, so that was Bhishma Stuti, sung by Pujya Ramesh Payoza. And you know, now that we've had a successful World Yoga Day, Hinduism is really what gives us insight into yoga. And this is just one example. The Bhishma Stuti is just the ultimate example that yoga then is for union with that which is our source. And you can call that source by whatever name you like. The Vedas call it Brahman. We Hindus call it Bhagawan. But whatever the name you give it, the ultimate purpose of yoga then is to unite with that which is the ultimate truth. But anyway, be that as it may, today we're going to start reading from a book called The Veda and Indian Culture by Kirit Joshi. And we'll start at the beginning, and every Sunday we'll have just a few minutes to read through it. We'll start with chapter 1. The Ancient Book of Wisdom. The Age of Mysteries has come to be acknowledged as a common feature among some of the most ancient cultures of the world. Whether in India or in Egypt or in Greece, in Atlantis or in some previous extent, but now submerged islands of the ancient times, there seemed to have flourished people with knowledge of the secret truths. There was undoubtedly even a pre-Vedic age and a pre-Chaldean age during which there seemed to have developed some remarkable experiments and explorations leading to discoveries of momentous importance. The results of these discoveries seem, however, to have been lost in some developments of the past, or they seem to have been assimilated, probably very much diminished in the content and import, in some traditions of religion or of philosophy. It is thus difficult to determine what exactly was that knowledge that the ancients possessed, and what exactly was the real achievement and their contribution to the advancement of mankind. There is, however, available in India the most ancient record known as the Vedas, a composition of a unique and accomplished character, the language of which is mysterious and ambiguous, betraying some possible secret. There is no doubt that the Vedas preceded the Upanishads, which are themselves very ancient. They speak of Pitara, of the forefathers, and of their achievements in glorious terms. It seems, therefore, that we have in the Veda a record of some ancient times, 10,000 BC or prior, which might give us a clue of at least the Indian age of the mysteries, and it might help us also in imagining or inferring what might have been the mysteries known and practiced in other parts of the world. There are, of course, historians who would like to convince us that the ancient times were barbaric, and that it would be in vain to look for knowledge or wisdom in the traditions or the records of those barbaric times. They would, of course, grant that these barbarians had some kind of religion, but that this religion, they would maintain, had no profundity in it. They treat the history of religion as a kind of a logical development, of a gradual refinement and clarity, starting from animism and spiritism and superstitious magic to the present-day universal religions of monotheism or theism or existentialism. They would refuse to grant that there could have ever been in those ancient times anything better than any animistic or spiritistic practice or belief, or anything better than fetishism, totemism, or tribal polytheistic cults or traditions. According to them, a hierarchical and systematic polytheistic religion was itself a later development, parallel to the political development of early nations. To find, therefore, among the ancient records, beliefs comparable to civilized and developed notions of pantheism or deism or theism would be, according to them, impossible. This interpretation is being proved to be inadequate as larger data are increasingly being brought to light. It is true that the very ancient man was a barbarian and an infra-rational being dominated almost exclusively by the needs of the physical, unillumined impulse and a mentality subject to physical senses. But at the same time, it has now come to be accepted that the infra-rational man is not wholly infra-rational, and that even he has some kind of implicit reasoning and a more or less crude supra-rational element. It is not unlikely that at a certain stage of development, the infra-rational age may arrive at a lofty order of civilization. It may have great institutions of meaning, of general intention of life, admirable ideas of the arrangement of life, a harmonious, well-adapted, durable, and serviceable social system, and a religion which will not be without profundity. It is true that in this stage, pure reason and pure spirituality would not govern the society or move large body of men, but they may have come to be represented by individuals, at first few but growing in number in due course. This may well lead to an age of great mystics if spirituality happens to predominate. These mystics may find an atmosphere and surroundings suitable for delving into the profound and still occult psychological possibilities of our nature. It is true, again, that the favorable circumstances may have great limitations, and that these mystics would not be able to influence any large or even a considerable number of people. Even they may be required to keep their deeper discoveries secret and impart them only to a small number of initiates. But they may also succeed in providing some powerful clues through which the popular barbaric mind may have a possibility of getting admittance under certain conditions of development into some intimation of secrets. In some such development, we may find mystics of profound knowledge existing and flourishing as a secret minority of initiates in the midst of an overwhelming population of the barbaric mentality. Among such things seems to have happened in prehistoric India, And as the secrets of the Veda are now being studied and understood, we feel how the composers of the Veda constituted a minority of the initiates, and how still they were able to give a peculiarly and uniquely spiritual turn to the whole future trend of civilization. The ancient barbarians may have looked upon the universe with some kind of animistic or spiritistic feeling. It is true that to him the most important things were the phenomena of nature, the sun, the moon, the stars, day and night, rains and storms and lightnings and such. To him the world seemed to be peopled by unseen powers and earthly animals and birds and creatures of various kinds. It is natural, therefore, that the wise one living in company of the barbarian, wishing to keep a safe line of communication with him to express his own knowledge, would speak of these phenomena of nature. But he would speak of them in a symbolic way. This would happen imperatively if the wise one knows that there is no fundamental contradiction between the real truths of the universe and the apparent manifestations of these truths through the physical phenomena of nature. Some such thing seems to have occurred in the age in which the Veda must have been composed. There seem to be three main grounds on which we are led to conclude that the Veda contains a huge mine of wisdom. First of all, this is the most fundamental ground. The Veda reveals its full consistent meaning only when its language is interpreted through correct certain keywords, which may sound ambiguous, and while they may mean something ordinary in one sense, they mean something extraordinary in another sense. To take one example, the word go means cow in one sense, but in another sense it also means light. Now it is found that if the word go is interpreted to mean cow in the Vedas, it serves well up to a certain point, but this interpretation breaks down at some crucial points, and thus, on this line of interpretation, the Veda might seem incoherent or meaningless. But if this word is understood in the spiritual light, it fits in fully and consistently in all varied contexts throughout the Veda. And this is only one example, but it is possible to show, as has been shown by Sri Aurobindo in his book on the Veda, that the Veda has a secret wisdom, and that this secret pertains to the realm of deeper truths of existence. Secondly, the Upanishads, which came after the Vedas, and which are universally acknowledged to be the records of deep knowledge, declare the sacredness of the Veda. The thinkers of the Upanishads refer to the Vedas as the highest authority for their own sublime utterances. They quote the Vedic verses as supporting citations, stating, "This is the word which was spoken by the Rig Ved." Thirdly, the Veda has been regarded as the highest source of knowledge throughout the long history of the Indian tradition, and the entire line of orthodox systems of philosophy refers to the Vedas as the highest indisputable authority of knowledge and truth. It is also noteworthy that the poets of the Vedic verse were described by themselves as the hearers of the truth. They did not look upon themselves as a sort of superior medicine men and makers of the hymn and incantations to robust and barbaric tribes, but as seers and thinkers, the Rishidhira. They themselves announced that their utterances had secret meaning and that they revealed their whole significance only to the seers. The poetical form, the poetical rhythm, and the poetical word in which the Vedic knowledge has been expressed are themselves consummate, and it is evident that their excellence, their force, and their beauty betray some high and sustained inspiration. If we read this poetry without any false presumptions, we shall find that it is sacred poetry, sublime and powerful in its words and images, though with another kind of language and imagination that we now prefer and appreciate. We find that it is deep and subtle in its psychological experience, and that it is stirred by a moved soul of vision and utterance. Let us take the following example and try to hear it directly in its purity. States upon states are born, covering over covering, awakens to knowledge. In the lap of the mother he wholly sees. They have called to him, getting a wide knowledge. They guard sleeplessly the strength. They have entered into the strong city. The people are born on earth, increase the luminous force of the son of the white mother. He has gold on his neck. He is large of speech. He is as if by the power of his honey, wine, a seeker of plenty. He is like a pleasant and desirable milk. He is a thing unaccompanied, and is with the two who are companions, and is a heat that is the belly of plenty, and is invincible and an overcomer of many. Play, O Ray, and manifest thyself. So this is Rig Ved, volume 19. And we will continue with this another Sunday.
दशरथ अजर बिहारी
राम सिया राम सिया राम जय जय राम राम सिया राम सिया राम जय जय राम
ओ हरि अनंत हरि कथा अनंता कहि सुनहि बहु विधि सब संता
Suprabhatam. This portion of the radio program is brought to you in part by Sri Meenakshi Temple. Sri Meenakshi Temple is located in Pearland at Houston, Texas, close to Hobby Airport. You can visit the website www.emeenakshi.org, or you could also access the Meenakshi Temple Times News Magazine through the Meenakshi Temple website. The telephone number there is 281-489-0358. And thank you for joining us in today's program presented by Sri Meenakshi Temple. Let me get you the happenings at Sri Meenakshi Temple for the month of July, and the festivals happening on those dates will be in, we will have the Ekadashi festival that is celebrated with an Abhishekam for Lord Mahavishnu, which will fall on 11th of July, and Masik Shivratri will be 13th Monday, and Gupta Navratri starts on 16th Thursday, and also Chaturthi will be on 19th of July, and Ashtavidhan begins with Masik Durghashtami on the 24th of July, and Ekadashi followed the following fortnight will be on 27th with Pradosha Vrata on Tuesday, 28th of July, followed by Chaumasi Chaudas Guru Purnima and Purnima Upvas happening on 30th of July with Savan that turns the Uttarayana to Dakshinayana. Well, anyway, let me now bring you one more song. This is Ramam Bhaje in praise of Lord Rama. And we shall talk about Rama as well as his characteristics of Lord Rama after this bhajan.
Sarva Bhutam, Sarva Bhutam. ವಿಭೀಷಣ ಆಂಜನೇಯ ಪೂಜಿತ ಚರಣೋ ವಶಿಷ್ಠಾದಿ ಮುನಿಗಣ ವೇದಿತ ಹೃದಯೋ ವಿಭೀಷಣ ಆಂಜನೇಯ ಪೂಜಿತ ಚರಣೋ ವಶಿಷ್ಠಾದಿ ಮುನಿಗಣ ವೇದಿತ ಹೃದಯೋ ವಶೀಕೃತ ಮಾಯ ಕಾರಿದ ವೇಷಂ ಏತಂ ಪುರೇಷಂ ಸರ್ವೇಷಂ ವಶೀಕೃತ ಮಾಯ ಕಾರಿದ ವೇಷಂ ಏತಂ ಪುರೇಷಂ ಸರ್ವೇಷಂ ರಾಮಂ ಭಜೇ ಶ್ಯಾಮೋ ಮನಸ ರಾಮಂ ಭಜೇ ವಚಸ ಸರ್ವೇದ ಸಾರಭೂತ ಸರ್ವಭೂತ ಹೇತು ರಾಮ ಭಜೇಶ ಮನಸ ರಾಮ ಭಜೇಶ ವಚಸ
Thank you.
Here we go.
ಮಾಯಾ ಶಕ್ತಿಯ ರೂಪಿಣಿಯಾದ ದೇವಿಯೇ ದುರ್ಗೆಯಾಗಿ, ಚಾಮುಂಡಿಯಾಗಿ, ಮಹಿಷಾಸುರ ಮರ್ದಿನಿಯಾಗಿ, ಹೀಗೆ ಹಲವು ಬಗೆಯಲ್ಲಿ ಕಾಣುತ್ತಾರೆ. ಆ ಮಾಯೆಯೇ ಲಕ್ಷ್ಮಿಯಾಗಿ, ಬ್ರಹ್ಮನ ರಾಣಿ ಶಾರದೆಯಾಗಿ, ಶಿವೆಯ ರೂಪದಲ್ಲಿ ಪಾರ್ವತಿಯಾಗಿ ಗೋಚರಿಸುತ್ತಾಳೆ. ಅದೆಷ್ಟು ದುಷ್ಟ ರಕ್ಕಸರನ್ನ ಆ ಜಗನ್ಮಾತೆ ಸಂಹರಿಸಿದಳೆಂದು ಆಲೋಚಿಸಿದರೆ ಆಶ್ಚರ್ಯವಾಗಿ ಆ ಜಗಜ್ಜನನಿಗೆ
ವಾರಣವದನೌ ಪಂದೇನಿ ಸಮಗೌ ವಾರಣವದನೌ ಪಂದೇನಿ ಸಮಗೌ ವಾರಣವದನೌ ಪಂದೇನಿ ಸಮಗೌ ವಾರಣ ವರಣೌ ಪಂದೇನಿ ಸಮಗೌ ಸಮಗಂ ಗೌರಿ ಬಗರಿ ವಂದೇನಿ ಸಮಗಮ ನಿ ಬಗರಿ ವಂದೇನಿ ಸಮಗಮ ಸರಿ ಗಬನಿ ರಾಣಿ ಗಬ ದಾನಿ ಬಗರಿ ವಂದೇನಿ ಬನಿ ಬಗಾವನಿ ಧರಿ ನೀ ಬಗಾವನಿ ಧನಿ ಬಗದಿ ಧರಿ ವಂದೇನಿ ಬಗರಿ ಧನಿ ಧರಿ ಗೌರಿ ಜಗರಿ ಧನಿ ಧರಿ ನಿಜ ಬಾನಿ ಧರಿ ಗಬರಿ ಗಬನಿ ಜಗರಿ ಧನಿ ರಗರಿ ಧನಿ ಬರಿ ಧನಿ ಬಗ ಬಗರಿ ನಿಧಿ ವಂದೇನಿ ಗರಿ ನಿರಿ ಗಬರಿ ನನಿ ಗರಿ ಧನಿ ಬಸ ನಿರಿ ಸಗರಿ ಬಗರಿ ಬಸ ನಿಗರಿ ಧನಿ ಸರಿ ದಿಜ ಬನಿ ಗಬರಿ ಗರಿ ಬಂದೇ ನಿ ಬನಿ ಗಾವನಿ ಬಗರಿ ಗಾವನಿ ಸರಿ ಗರಿ ಧನಿ ಬಗರಿ ಧನಿ ಬಗ ಬಗರಿ ನಿರಿ ಗಬನಿ ಬಗನಿ ಬಗರಿ ಸರಿ ಸಗರಿ ಸರಿ ಸರಿ ಸಾರಿ ಗರಿ ದೇ ಗಬ ಗಬನಿ ಬಗರಿ ಗಬನಿ ಸರಿ ಸರಿ ಸರಿ
to the conclusion of the program presented by Sri Veenakshi Temple. We will be back on air next Sunday, 10:30 a.m. bringing you this segment, and you can contact Veenakshi Temple at www.emeenakshi.org. You can call the temple office at 281-489-0358, and also do listen to our program. Give us a feedback by going to Veenakshi Temple, contacting one of the board of directors. We will have updates from the board periodically coming from the Meenakshi Temple Board of Trustees in the future programs. And thank you for joining us in today's segment presented by Meenakshi Temple. And this is Tara Narasimhan signing off. We'll be back on air 10:30 a.m. Sunday, every Sunday, along with Voice of Sanatan Hinduism radio program. We conclude with this song on praise of Goddess Meenakshi.
ಬಗರಿ ಗಬನಿ ನೀರಿ ಗರಿ ನಿಜಗರಿ ಧನಿ ಗಗ ಗರಿ ಧನಿ ಗರಿ ಧನಿ ನಿಜ ಗಾರಿ ಧನಿ ಬಸವನಿ ಬಗರಿ ಸಗರಿ ಬಗರಿ ಬಸ ನಿರಿ ಗರಿ ಬಗರಿ ಬಸ ನಿರಿ ಗರಿ
and we now continue with our Voice of Sanatan Hinduism radio program.
Oh.